Welcome to the Cutting Edge News Program, The Divided Kingdom. This is Luke Haverly. At this time of potentially the most crucial presidential election ever, Elizabeth Cuppet Haverly and I are bringing you this October 29th program entitled Exposés, Secret and Not So Secret.
Yes, Lou. And first, we have to remark that God is good and God is in final control. And if he brought President Donald Trump into the White House, just as he brought Cyrus back in biblical times to help the Israelites, then we must pray with hope and faith that the right will triumph. It's just amazing that even in Los Angeles, Laura Ingraham's program focused on some video clips, many, many people, it looked like multitudes of people for President Trump. And on one day, Tuesday, October 27th, the president was in Michigan, Wisconsin, and Omaha. It's a true miracle after his fight with COVID-19 that God restored him. And at the same time, we see the darkness in play there on Tuesday, October 27th. It was already the second night of looting and rioting in Philadelphia, after the two officers told Walter Wallace to drop the knife he had as he came toward them, and he was shot. And, of course, there are questions why the police were not given tasers. But at the same time, one female policewoman was hit by a truck. We cannot have this kind of anarchy and chaos in our country. And if we have time tonight, one of the exposés will be about the spiritual satanic religion of BLM. You just can't imagine. And so, Lou, again, we have what's secret and what's not so secret. And first of all, you have this important, amazing news, the latest coronavirus surge overtaking the planet.
That's right, Elizabeth. Let's begin with France. In France, the French president, according to Le Monde, Emmanuel Macron, announced, quote, confinement throughout the country until December 1st. This would mean the closing of many, many venues. They say that the schools are going to try to remain open and certain other venues throughout the country. However, a lot of the places of entertainment will have to be closed.
And we must interject. Before we came to the mic, Satan did a number on us. There was a missing page. And I now know why. We searched everywhere, and it should have turned up. It did not turn up because, Lou, we had a slight disclaimer on that page that we have to always remember when we see these facts and figures from all around the world, from each country, everything that's going on. We have to remember that the global elite have this plan to use the pandemic to shut down society so it all collapses, so there will be a worldwide economic collapse with no businesses able to open. All of this we have to remember in the background. That doesn't take away from the dangers and the need for common sense to wear a mask, to social distance. What else? Now, tell me again how long that shutdown was going to be?
That shutdown was going to last until, well, basically all through November, so the rest of October and all of November.
And was that a curfew?
I believe it was, yes. I think there is a curfew attached, although I don't have that in front of me. I know he went on television, even as we're recording this. This is Wednesday as we recorded, the 28th, I believe. And he was going to go on French television, and because they're 5 or 6 hours ahead of us, that's already happened. And he was going to address the nation. So a great many things will be locked down. As he said, the schools are going to try to stay open. And, of course, we know when the coronavirus first struck in the USA, it was, what was this supposed to be, Elizabeth, 2 weeks for the shutdown?
I really don't remember.
Yeah, it wasn't going to be long, they said at first, but here it is, 6, 7 months later, and we're still in many places locked down.
And yet Trump is trying to bring the economy back.
Yes.
And there are some openings even here in Maryland somewhat. Why don't you continue?
Yes. Now we move a little further east in Europe to Prague from the Prague Daily Monitor. People are banned from leaving their homes from 9 p.m. to 5 a.m. Exceptions include going to work, walking a dog, and attending urgent matters.
And we don't have any numbers, do we? You were going to get numbers cases?
I have a little bit of numbers here. The Czech Republic is now recording 15,000 new cases per day.
Oh, I would say that's a little bit of a news item.
Yes.
My word.
It has the second highest per capita death rate over a seven-day period. In other words, if you average it out over 7 days in the entire world, that's impressive. And I guess in Prague, things like Christmas markets are a very big thing every year, but there won't be any of those this year in Prague's old town area. Now moving on back Western Europe to Brussels. The Brussels Times tells us in the Flanders region of Brussels, of Belgium, I should say, measures are being tightened to stop the spread. Citizens are being asked to limit, and this is an exact quote, limit your physical contact to the absolute minimum. That was a quote from French Minister-President Jean Jambon. Gatherings of more than four people are banned with a curfew from midnight to 5 a.m. Libraries will stay open, but all other cultural venues must close. Shopping is limited to a maximum of two people. Only weekly markets are still allowed. Christmas markets and flea markets will not be allowed to open. At weddings, funerals, and other religious services, a maximum of 40 people will be allowed. Higher education will switch to distance learning except for freshmen, first-year students. For everyone of age 12 or over, sports activities will only be allowed outdoors with a maximum of four persons participating. If the current rise continues, Belgium is expected to reach maximum capacity for ICU patients by November 6th, if this trend continues. Now, moving on, we come to the United Kingdom. Boris Johnson is under mounting pressure to introduce tougher lockdown restrictions. And again, we had a little trouble, so I don't have a lot of statistics, but if you'd like to see those, a very good site is Worldometer. Just like two words stuck together, world and odometer, world odometer, and I believe that's .org. From Germany, Frankenpost. This is a quote, a dark corona November is approaching Germany. In order to stop the rapidly spreading pandemic, the federal and state governments agree on a new lockdown, limited to the end of November, unquote. And then continuing on with the quote, the risk of an infection situation that is no longer manageable is growing day by day, as the number of infections is currently almost doubling every week, unquote. And as a math person, I can tell you if it's doubling every week, in 6 weeks, that would be 64 times as much. So let's hope that doesn't continue.
And you know, we can keep track of this. I'm going to put you on notice to keep track of some of these things, because if this is a puffed up, outrageous kind of propaganda to get us fearful and to get us under the control of the global elitists, then we'll see. Something's not going to pan out if it really isn't such a crisis. But we can see that you and I thought, at least as we talked, that with all of the nations of the world and all of the health authorities involved, all the governmental figures, there could hardly be a worldwide conspiracy with all of them in it, because it's just not manageable to have that many people working to fudge all of the numbers everywhere. That's just, that would be just kind of a delusion if we thought that, I believe. Don't you?
I think it would. That would just be impossible. You can't get that many people, not even speaking the same language.
That's a good point. That's a good point, too. So I think there is a lot of trouble. And, you know, we've been hearing all the time that the young people now are getting it, and it's a much milder form, and nothing will happen. The school kids will get it, and they don't even get sick. But you do have somewhere in your report, and we'll note it when you come to it, a statistic. In one of the countries, I think there was a very young person who died and in the hospital. So why don't you go ahead?
Yes, and we definitely will be getting to that. Now, back to Germany. Health authorities reported 14,964 new corona infections within one day, Wednesday, and that's October 28th, morning. Almost twice as many as Wednesday 1 week before. Chancellor Angela Merkel and the minister presidents of the federal states agreed on Wednesday at a video conference that new measures should be initiated. Schools will remain open. Retail stores can stay open provided they permit no more than one customer per 10 square meters in their shops. Entertainment events and restaurants will be closed, as well as cinemas and concert halls.
Now that doesn't look like deliberate planned destruction either, because you can see there Merkel's trying to keep the schools open.
That's right.
I don't believe that every last leader in the world has a suicidal bent toward their national interest. I do not think that we have progressed that far. We know that many politicians, the rhinos, the Dems here in this country, they're sold out. But not everyone is sold out completely, because if they were, then the whole world is insane, like a bunch of lemmings ready to jump off the cliff. I think there are some sane people, even in the globalist coterie.
Yes, I think you have an excellent point there.
Go ahead. What's next?
Now we move to Spain and Italy. This comes from NBC News. In Rome and other cities, protesters resisted a new round of coronavirus restrictions amid a surge of infections across Italy and all of Europe. In Spain, one of Europe's worst hotspots, doctors in Madrid were due to go into an indefinite strike Tuesday over working conditions amid the pandemic. Dozens of demonstrators in Turin threw huge firecrackers and bottles at the regional government's headquarters. Police responded with volleys of tear gas. In Poland.
You know, before you go to Poland,
yes,
that was Spain, correct?
That was Spain.
Now, to all those who criticize President Donald Trump on the left, all the rabid opponents who hate him and say he did nothing, our situation was much better than that. We did not have the frontline workers out striking and doing all these things. We can see that there were some things wrong. Remember, I think it was the 3M company that was selling to foreign interests, and somehow one person in Homeland Security reported this. We weren't getting the things. There's always sort of a black market, kind of a black ops part of our government, but we also had the other part, in which Trump provided those extra ships in New York, other things that he did so that we had better conditions for the workers, the frontline workers. And we should appreciate that. When you pray about your vote, you think about what the country will be like under Harris, Biden, and I did that intentionally, and under Trump. Well, what's next there? You are moving now to Poland.
Yes. The Polish government announced the entire country will become a, quote, red zone, unquote, of strict COVID restrictions starting Saturday. And in the tiny little country of Nepal, right on the border of China and India, Nepal has suspended all treks to Mount Everest and neighboring mountains after a local man tested positive for COVID-19. Now we're going to come back to the USA. Much of this comes from USA Today. In Wisconsin, the state saw its worst day in the coronavirus pandemic to date. 20 states set records for new cases in 1 week as of Tuesday.
And that was October 27th.
Yes.
So that was, which, repeat that about the state, which state saw its worst day in the whole pandemic?
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, okay.
It saw its worst day in the entire pandemic up to the present date. So as Elizabeth has said, to those who make the generalization that COVID has become milder by mutation, these statistics simply don't bear that out. Three states had a record number of deaths for 1 week, Nebraska, Tennessee, and Wyoming. The Big Ten football game this Saturday between Wisconsin and Nebraska has been canceled because of positive tests among players and staff, including the head coach, Paul Christ of Wisconsin. As of Wednesday, 12 people within the Wisconsin football program had tested positive, 6 players and 6 staff members. For the first time since the pandemic began, the U.S. added more than 500,000 coronavirus cases in 1 week. On Tuesday, that would be Tuesday, October 27th, the country recorded 502,828 new cases over the past 7 days.
Now, you won't be hearing a lot of this in the MSM. First of all, the leftist anarchy and planned takedown of our entire country and the Constitution. But we also have to realize that all kinds of things can happen, and to suppress this idea just to prevent the lockdown, that's not good journalism either. So we're trying to bring you the real truth. And as a personal friend to each of you listeners, I advise you again to be prudent. The prudent man prepares, the prudent woman prepares. You should get canned food, and you should get it into your home now. Because Lou told you last week, talking to a grocery manager, there are places on each aisle that are empty spots, and maybe these items will never come back. We've been trying to get alcohol as an experiment. We can't get it. We could get a little bit of Swan rubbing alcohol maybe 4 weeks ago, but it's gone again. How many companies have gone out of business the way that grocery manager said? So we're just urging you to really pray about this. And some foods are rather inexpensive. Vegetables keep a long, long, long time. I remember something that you and I had, Lou. We talked about this one time on air. I don't know. I think it was some kind of a squash or something, canned squash. And we had had it about 16 years, and we opened it, and it was good. Now, fruit will not keep. Fruit will not keep that long, but meats will keep a long, long time. Go ahead, Lou.
All right. Now, from the Globalist National Public Radio, here are some claims.
NPR, that is.
Yes, that's right. All but six states in the District of Columbia showed increased cases this week compared with the last week. Hospitalizations are also up. The 12 Midwestern states accounted for more than one-third of all new cases in the U.S. Both Massachusetts and New Hampshire are banning ice hockey for at least 2 weeks. And if you are ever up in that area, ice hockey is a very big sport. Many high schools have it. Most colleges have it up there. So to ban that for at least 2 weeks is, you know, not a small thing to those people. In Idaho, the situation is so dire that local health officials are considering sending new coronavirus patients to Washington State and Oregon because they are running out of hospital beds. NPR reports in Chicago the average daily case rate increased by more than 50% last week. Let's see. Next.
And again, we might take NPR with a grain of salt, but with all this other concomitant information supporting the idea that coronavirus is far from over, we just have to stop and take stock and keep checking on the figures. Next is...
Yes, and now we have some news from the college campus. This is what Elizabeth referred to earlier. From the University of Dayton, Ohio, they announced Friday that an 18-year-old student had died after a lengthy hospitalization with coronavirus. Okay.
We don't know whether he had some comorbidities or something, but that makes us take stock again. We can't accept any kind of a stereotype that no young people ever get very, very ill with it. We still remember that lacrosse player Allard, Jack Allard, age 25, I believe, had to be airlifted to the University of Pennsylvania, fought for his life. So, is that it, Lou?
Just two quick ones. First of all, there were 1,025 new confirmed cases in my old home state of Massachusetts as of Tuesday, October 27th.
And that was just like one day, wasn't it?
That was just one day.
That's right.
And in Maryland, Baltimore Channel 45, which is Fox News, reported October 28th that 30 more people entered the hospital because of coronavirus in the last 24 hours, bringing the total to 501. So, one more thing.
Yes, I think you're going to tell, we were so shocked because we were used to the numbers here in Maryland getting down to the 300s. But October what?
October 17th reported a one-day increase of 798. October 23rd's total one-day increase was 743. COVID is not gone, and it's not forgotten.
Wow, what a report. Lou and I are certainly going to continue wearing our masks and doing social distancing. Now, for the juicy secrets exposed that we promised.
Yes. And, Elizabeth, you know my politeness rule. Ladies first. Even if they are devilish NWO dames.
And right up there to bat is Kamala Harris, hates the First Amendment and loves abortion. From naturalnews.com, October 15th, by Ethan Huff. David DeLeiden from the Center for Medical Progress has released a new video exposing Kamala Harris as an abortion-loving, First Amendment-hating political prostitute who would rather please her friends at Planned Parenthood than protect the civil liberties of American citizens. Truth be told, Harris despises things like civil liberty and equal justice under the law, as evidenced by her selective prosecutorial assault on DeLeiden in retaliation for his eye-opening baby body parts exposés, which incriminate Planned Parenthood as a criminal racket that murders babies, both born and unborn, for profit. During her time as California Attorney General, Harris went on a witch hunt against DeLeiden by charging and prosecuting him under a little-known statute that amazingly has never been exercised even once prior in California history. On behalf of her Planned Parenthood donors and allies, Harris reportedly sent 11 California Department of Justice agents to raid DeLeiden's one-bedroom apartment just 2 weeks after she personally met with 6 Planned Parenthood executives. Harris made sure that these agents seized any and all computers and video equipment that might have been used to publish DeLeiden's undercover videos. Quote, an email outlining action items from the meeting shows that they discussed both Planned Parenthood's political agenda in the state of California and Kamala's investigation into DeLeiden and the Center for Medical Progress, reports indicate. 2 of the 6 executives in that meeting were used as witnesses in Harris's criminal investigation. The latest abortion-related news, including the role Kamala Harris is playing to ensure that babies will continue to be legally murdered, can be found at KamalaHarris.news. A vote for Kamala Harris is a vote for tyranny and baby murder. Between the years of 2010 and 2015, Planned Parenthood and its board members donated more than $81,000 to Harris's political campaigns. This would explain why she was easily swayed to go to bat for the abortion provider by trying to ruin DeLeiden's life. Keep in mind that DeLeiden's undercover footage, the subject of Harris's persecution against him, did not actually violate California law. While it was captured without the other party's consent, DeLeiden made sure to capture it in public places where communication cannot be reasonably expected not to be overheard by others. This is important because that was the crux of Harris's political crusade against DeLeiden, that he, quote, illegally recorded people talking without their consent, which supposedly violates California law, even though the practice has been going on for years in regular news reporting. Local news outlets all across California have filmed undercover investigations of everything, from dirty restaurants violating health code to illicit cannabis dispensaries operating without a license. And yet, DeLeiden's case was the first time that the law in question was exercised in order to prosecute him, and only him. Another thing to consider is the fact that California does allow for undercover video reporting in cases where the purpose of it is to gather evidence related to violent crimes. Seeing as how abortion is arguably the worst form of violent crime, DeLeiden was perfectly aligned with California law. Quote, the entire purpose of our video recording in California was to document and expose the violent crimes of fetal trafficking, end of quote, DeLeiden explains in his latest video, quote, including selling infants aborted alive and killing them through organ harvesting and medical battery against pregnant women, end of quote. The silver lining in all this is that DeLeiden's hard work did pay off, at least to an extent, in Southern California, where multiple area firms that once did business with Planned Parenthood have been shut down, preventing them from any further participation in Planned Parenthood's aborted baby body parts criminal racket. If I had been investigating unsafe grocery practices, animal abuse, or unlicensed gun sales, would Kamala Harris ever thought of pursuing video recording charges against me? DeLeiden further asks in his video, it's pretty obvious that the reason I alone was targeted by Kamala Harris is because I dared to criticize Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry. And we have more on Kamala, don't we?
Yes, we do. Democratic vice presidential candidate Kamala Harris kept hundreds of men in prison for cheap labor. Pictures make up her mosaic. Friday, October 16th, by Ramon Tomey. Natural News. A Twitter user shared a mosaic of Democratic vice presidential candidate Kamala Harris, consisting of African-American individuals she imprisoned and held past their release dates to ensure the state did not lose cheap prison labor. Twitter used the black socialist posted posted the mosaic a day after the debate between Harris and incumbent Vice President Mike Pence. Jackie Kucinich of the Daily Beast first reported the issue in February 2019, when lawyers for the California Attorney General's office argued that some nonviolent offenders ought to remain in jail, lest the prison system would be deprived of a cheap labor force. The arguments follow the 2011 Supreme Court Brown v. Plater decision, stating California prisons had serious overcrowding problems, that they have violated the Eighth Amendment prohibiting cruel and unusual punishment. The state was ordered in 2014 to make nonviolent second-time offenders who have served half of their prison sentence eligible for parole. Harris served as the state's attorney general during that time. Based on court filings, lawyers argue that granting certain potential parolees a, quote, fast track out of prison, unquote, would negatively affect penal labor programs, including one that permitted certain inmates to fight California's wildfires for about $2 a day. Other prisoners who worked as groundskeepers, janitors, and prison kitchen staff for wages ranging from 8 cents to 37 cents per hour would also be affected by the move. Elizabeth?
Just amazing, isn't it?
Yes. Disgusting is the word.
Yes, it is. I'm wondering now, what number did you have on that?
That was number 3.
Okay. Someone has 4A.
I think the Grinch has struck again. Let me see here.
Don't you have something about Hillary Clinton?
No, I don't.
You're not kidding. He has struck.
He shouldn't.
Okay. The upshot of that was that Hillary Clinton may be
angling for
something.
I have told you the wrong thing. I do have 4A.
All right. Let's find out, because we're focusing on these evil NWO dames, these devilish dames, and Hillary's always there lurking for some reason.
That's right. Gretchen Whitmer kidnapping plot, a false flag operation.
Oh, okay. I guess we're not quite to Hillary yet. We are now going to look at the witch Whitmer, okay?
Yes. So she, Gretchen Whitmer, kidnapping plot, a false flag operation hatched by the FBI. October 16, 2020, by Ethan Huff, Natural News. The alleged kidnapping plot against Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer that was widely reported by the mainstream media turned out to be a false flag operation hatched by none other than the deeply corrupt FBI. While there was, in fact, a handful of citizens that wanted to do something to stop Whitmer from continuing to trample the civil rights of Michiganders, it was an FBI informant who was paid $8,600 that actually ensnared them into the phony kidnapping scheme, creating fake news headlines that the left-wing media used to smear Trump supporters. According to defense attorney Scott Graham, there was never any real kidnapping plot beyond the one imagined and conjured up by the FBI. Instead, there were a few guys talking online about how to hold Whitmer accountable, who were deceived by the FBI into thinking its informant wanted to help them. This informant spun the contrived narrative that the mainstream media ran with to try to smear the right wing as a bunch of unhinged domestic terrorists who resort to violence whenever they do not get what they want.
And, Lou, we interject here that we talked about how the FBI and the deep state were trying to build this for years now, this profile of the rabid white supremacist nationalist, because then they can come after, after the stereotype is built enough, they can come after the constitutionalists, the gun owners, the Christians. So this is definitely part of this. Continue.
Yes, I'm going to read just a little bit of it because there's a nice little end to that sentence. This informant spun the contrived narrative that the mainstream media ran with to try to smear the right wing as a bunch of unhinged domestic terrorists who want to resort to violence whenever they do not get what they want. You know, kind of like what Black Lives Matter and Antifa do. Quote, have you ever dealt with big talkers, unquote, Graham asked, suggesting that the alleged kidnappers are little more than, quote, military wannabes, unquote, who were, quote, never going to do anything, unquote. He added, there's kind of a military wannabe theme that runs between the militias. Militiamen may have planned a citizen's arrest of Whitmer, which is perfectly legal and justified. Attorney Gary Springstead, who is representing one of the individuals falsely accused of trying to kidnap Whitmer, further stated that there is a whole lot more evidence yet to be seen that the FBI, in its quest to demonize the right, is obfuscating. Springstead is quoted as saying, quote, I haven't had a full opportunity to review all of the evidence. I think my co-counsel made good points that the evidence presented today is a snapshot, a lot of quick points in a big time frame. You don't know what else is happening outside of that time frame, unquote. He added that he does not plan to rely on the federal government to tell the full story about what happened, and that it will take some time to fill in the gaps of what was not captured on tape that the FBI is conveniently leaving out of its alleged evidence. There is also the very real possibility that the alleged kidnappers were actually planning to perform a citizen's arrest of Whitmer, which is a completely legal process. Barry County Sheriff Dar Leaf, who knows several of the alleged kidnappers, said a citizen's arrest of Whitmer is fully justified considering the barrage of intolerable acts she's inflicted upon her constituents over the past 7 months. Lee stated about the case, quote, it's just a charge, unquote, noting that the alleged kidnappers should not be convicted by the news media, but rather have a right to a fair trial. He said, quote, and they say it's a plot to kidnap. You've got to remember that, are they trying to kidnap? Because a lot of people are angry with the governor, and they want her arrested. So are they trying to arrest, or was it a kidnap attempt? Unquote. Lee further added that Michigan citizens have a right to perform a citizen's arrest in the event that a felony has been committed. He stated, quote, and it doesn't say if you're in elected office that you're exempt from that arrest. So I have to look at it from that angle. And I'm hoping that's more of what it is. As a matter of fact, these guys are innocent until proven guilty, so I'm not even sure if they had any part of it. The federal government is notorious for staging false flag operations like this to push a nefarious agenda. And it says you can learn more at falseflag.news.
And yes, let's just review a little bit more the short article that I wrote, Illuminati Telegraph 2, October 23rd, 2020. And you can go to our website, dividedkingdomradio.com. Again, that's dividedkingdomradio.com. And you can see our latest articles. You can go into our archives and listen to our important October programs. And this is just a little excerpt from this article. Governor Gretchen Whitmer, false flag kidnapping heroine, conducted an interview with NBC's Meet the Press on camera as Whitmer conversed with the TV audience. A small set of numbers stood perched near a houseplant on a coffee table. The numbers were 8645. 86 is NWO code for murder. 45, of course, designates Donald J. Trump, our 45th president. Those who abhor the killing of the unborn have noted the 86 murder code with the abortion pill's numerical nomenclature RU486. This, of course, translates into the words Are you for murder? And now we're going to have to shorten the next expose. We had Witch Whitmer, and now we have part of the coven, Clinton, Hillary Clinton. And the headline, just give us about two little sentences. She's thought to be angling for Secretary of Defense under Biden and Harris.
That's right. The headline says a vote for Joe Biden is a vote for Hillary Clinton, who is vying for Secretary of Defense. This is by Ethan Huff.
And I think that probably tells us enough. We'll see after the election results are in.
Yes.
But there was a lot more than a just a tired globalist worldview here going on back at the time of the so-called bin Laden execution. You know, we believe that bin Laden died probably in 2001, and his CIA name was Tim Osmond, and he was visited by a CIA section chief, I think in Dubai, somewhere over there in the Middle East, before his death. He had a lot of kidney problems, so we think that this was a scam within a scam. But the SEAL Team 6, you see, undoubtedly knew too much. So here again, Ethan Huff at Natural News has Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden executed SEAL Team 6. Here's the proof. A trove of evidence is being incrementally released, showing that Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden knowingly and deliberately executed SEAL Team 6 because the unit knew too much about the treason being committed by the Obama administration. A newly released interview with CIA whistleblower Alan Harrow Parrott. Earlier stories from other alt media sources incorrectly spelled his first name as Alan, and it's really spelled A-L-A-N, not two L's, reveals that Barack Obama personally sent $152 billion in extortion and blackmail money to Iran to cover up the truth about SEAL Team 6. Pardon me, which is blowing wide open just weeks before the November 3rd election. Parrott, a former CIA agent, is the one releasing documents all this week that uncover numerous crime sprees committed by Clinton, Biden, and Obama concerning the Osama bin Laden PSYOP, weapons running through Syria, and more, all of which took place during Obama's White House occupation. A heavy price has been paid for what we are uncovering, and millions of people want to see, Parrott admitted in speaking to Charles Woods, the father of Benghazi hero Tyrone Woods. This is the beginning of the end for the bad guys. The first 10 minutes of the below video contain key portions of Parrott's interview with Woods, which you will not want to miss. This is again at naturalnews.com. This was October 15th. The rest of the video contains insights from Anna Kate, who joined Gary Franchi of the News Network to talk about these new revelations. Biden publicly disclosed the existence of SEAL Team 6 in order to get them murdered, while Clinton was the one calling the shots, even leaving Obama in the dark until the last minute after the Benghazi operation was already in motion. It was Biden who played the role of outing the existence of SEAL Team 6 on national television, ultimately leading to the murder of its members. Biden also lied repeatedly about the Obama administration, allegedly not knowing that SEAL Team 6 had requested more security before their gruesome deaths, when in fact it was Biden who led the charge in securing their execution. Quote, "Our military is so well trained and their work is very compartmentalized, and it is the people at the top who make the decisions. And Ty Woods died unnecessarily at the hands of Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, and John Brennan," Parrott says. Parrott contends that he personally negotiated with Iran to transfer bin Laden to a neutral zone, and that Bill Richardson had agreed to receive him. Now, there again, if we believe he was already dead, this whole narrative had to use some kind of a double. And now back to the article. Clinton later had bin Laden moved to Abbottabad, in Pakistan in 2010, Parrott says, where he waited to be captured by Obama as a, quote, trophy in support of his reelection. Things went awry, however, when Iran pulled bin Laden out at the 11th hour and replaced him with a decoy. Boy, this is really getting thicker than mud. You know, a decoy for the decoy. SEAL Team 6 ended up capturing this decoy. Now, this right here, we pick up probably with the narrative of the truth. And after learning the truth, maybe they learned the real truth, that he was already dead and this was a dummy, had to be extinguished by Clinton and Biden in order to cover up the truth. It was a one-way trip, and we have witnesses who say that Hillary and Panetta were threatening Obama that if he didn't go along with the kill mission, that they would go to the press and he would not survive politically. That is when they pulled him off the golf course after it was over. The architects were Hillary Clinton, John Brennan, and Panetta. Parrott went on to explain, SEAL Team 6 killed Osama's double based on one of the wives who screamed that, and that is why they didn't save the body. They threw the parts over the mountains, and John Brennan told everyone to lie. And we're really running out of some time, and it's so important that we get to some of the men, what's going on. And Sally Gadula, Mechikabula, Bibbidi Bobbidi. Can you say Bobolinsky? The riveting interview Tuesday, October 27th, between Fox host Tucker Carlson and Tony Bobolinsky, pardon me, is historic. Tony, former, I believe, naval commander with a top Q clearance, whose immediate forebears served with distinction in the U.S. military, outlined more details in the Chi-Com Biden family business co-op. Bobolinsky resented his very patriotic family being, quote, tarred with the label they were giving him as a Russian disinfo agent. So this was an unprecedented interview, and I think that more and more is going to come out about Joe Biden's actual involvement himself in the Chi-Com business deals. This will be emerging. But now it's very important that we move on now to Hunter Biden and this underbelly of the New World Order that's always harming children. Lou, I believe that you have, I believe I have the first part. And yes, here it is. We'll have to move to this next. And this was from National File, the article by Eduardo Rivero. One America News Network reporter, reporter Chanel Rion, who claims to have seen the contents of Hunter Biden's hard drive, noted that she uncovered underage obsessions. Quote, just saw for myself a behind-the-scenes look at the Hunter Biden hard drive. Drugs, underage obsessions, power deals, she wrote on Twitter. A report by Revolver News further noted that the FBI agent who subpoenaed Hunter's laptop, Joshua Wilson, specialized in investigating child pornography. In the past, Wilson has been described by the Star Ledger as, quote, an FBI agent based in New Jersey who has spent nearly 5 years working full-time on child pornography. Business Insider also reported that Wilson had signed a criminal complaint charging a New York-based pedophile, Arthur Frazier, and that the signature matched the one on the subpoena of Hunter Biden's laptop recently published by the New York Post. The Revolver News piece further speculated, so this raises the very obvious question, did the computer repair guy stumble upon child pornography on Hunter's laptop and contact the FBI as a result? Did he keep a copy of the hard drive as the only remaining evidence of Hunter's crimes in case the Veeps kid got off scot-free? It sounds to me like Chanel is possibly talking about someone having a sexual fetish for minors. I think that's a reasonable assumption, and it could be another key piece to this very disturbing puzzle. And Lou, I think now you're going to, before you give an expose of the association, the Volunteer Lawyers Association, that was connected with not only Hunter, but Joe was very friendly to it, too. I think you're going to look at that review that you have on the movie Cuties, because we see this underbelly, this global network, from this week. Do you see that you have that?
I do have that,
and
indeed,
you can read your intro there.
The kids exposed, I believe that's Exposed movie, Cuties on Netflix, perhaps exposed more about a wider NWO subterranean network of criminal degradation. He Here are some excerpts from a movie review of Cuties in the Weeks, September 23rd, 2020. Cutie, the movie that sparked a cancel Netflix campaign. Quote, it's a shame a movie about an 11-year-old's moral education has made so many adults stupid, said Alyssa Rosenberg in the Washington Post. But last week's Netflix premiere of Cuties, a debut feature film by a female French-Senegalese director, has blown up into a major cultural skirmish, much of it fueled by people who haven't even seen the Sundance award-winning film about a twerking preteen dance crew, but decided to label it child pornography. An online petition to remove the movie has gathered 500,000 signatures. Cancel Netflix, hashtag Cancel Netflix is trending on Twitter, and Senators Ted Cruz, Republican of Texas, and Tom Cotton, Republican of Arizona, have called on the Justice Department to investigate, with Cruz also suggesting that Barack Obama profits from child exploitation because the former president has a production deal with Netflix. The sad irony is that many conservatives, if they took the time to watch Cuties, quote, might find a great deal to like about the movie, unquote. Quote, Netflix deserves all the grief it's taking over the thing, unquote.
Now, we have to point out we don't agree with that. Conservatives would not like that.
No.
Go ahead.
And not just for the promotional poster we created for the movie and then apologized for. Cuties includes no child nudity, but by having these girls act like exotic dancers in training, it enthusiastically engages in, quote, the very thing it purports to condemn, unquote. Whatever Ducouré, and I believe that's the director of the movie, whatever Ducouré's artistic intentions were, the actors are children. And in order to play their roles, quote, they have to learn to stroke their crotches, twerk, put their fingers in their mouths suggestively, and move like strippers mimicking intercourse, unquote. Said Alyssa Wilkinson in Vox.com, quote, it's hard to respond well to controversies like this, unquote. A great deal of uproar was essentially, and this is in quotes, essentially manufactured and trumped up by bad faith actors, unquote, including the QAnon community, propagators of the baddie conspiracy theory that liberal elites operate a global child sex trafficking ring, remember Pizzagate, and that President Trump's primary mission is to take it down, while many people who worry about the sexualization of children get swept up in the noise before they have time to judge whether an artist is provoking shock for good reason or simply going too far. And I'll interject, we ourselves, Elizabeth and I, aren't sure exactly what or how authentic QAnon is. We saw Fox host Sean Hannity mock it, saying he too was, out of the loop of understanding, unquote. But methods the lady protests too much.
Read that again. I think that's a Shakespearean quote that you know, methinks.
Oh, yes, you're quite right. But methinks the lady does protest too much. Shakespeare, famous quote, may apply here. If QAnon is real, not some kind of CIA mockingbird pretense, it could be working for, not against, patriots. This week magazine, as did all MSN talking heads, dismisses Pizzagate. Global sex trafficking statute. I can't read the word there.
I added this note for you, Lou.
Yes.
And so it was the sex trafficking global network idea. And, of course, Alex Jones took a lot of heat for this. And we think there was something really to it because where there is smoke, there is fire.
Exactly.
And so
yes.
What we're saying is there's this underbelly. So with that thought in mind, let's have you now tell us the whole thing, the article about the volunteer lawyers group.
All right. I believe this is the one we're talking about from Zero Hedge. Why is the FBI's top child porn lawyer involved in Hunter Biden laptop case? Do I have the right one, Elizabeth?
No. I think you have the one about the organization, the lawyers organization, the volunteer legal organization.
I don't believe I have that one.
It's a longer one. Maybe this is it. Have we had another problem? This would be amazing.
It would be, wouldn't
it? I mean, this is amazing. I think it's a satanic attack. You do not see the one that talks about the legal foundation.
Well, I have one about the mother accusing
Biden.
Yes,
that's it. Go ahead.
Is that the one?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yes, I do have that one. This is entitled, from National File, Document Photos. Mother accuses Biden group of misconduct in teen boy bathroom encounter. This is by Patrick Holley, October 15th, 2020. Democrat presidential candidate Joe Biden fundraised for his daughter-in-law Kathleen's nonprofit group, the D.C. Volunteer Lawyers Project, which sends court-appointed attorneys to insert themselves into divorce and custody cases on behalf of children. The D.C. Volunteer Lawyers Project quietly dismissed a volunteer lawyer who was accused of propositioning a teen boy in a courthouse bathroom in 2011. The boy's mother told National File that she believes the Biden group's volunteer lawyer was using his power to victimize her son as part of a pattern of the employee inviting quote-unquote boys to his home for supposed mentoring. Her son, who she said does not want to be involved in a political article for fear of his own employment, confirmed the basic details of his mother's version of events, but says that he did not feel victimized. However, witnesses confirmed that he felt victimized at the time of the incident. A witness calls the D.C. Volunteer Lawyers Project a, quote, sleazy group, unquote, and said, quote, they hang out all over the courthouses, unquote. Excuse me. Emails provided to National File by a former Washington Examiner editor and a separate witness statement confirmed that a complaint was made to the D.C. Volunteer Lawyers Project. Kathleen Biden helped found the D.C. Volunteer Lawyers Project in 2008 and became a co-chair of the group during her failed marriage to Hunter Biden, who attended at least one fundraiser for the group. In 2019, it was reported that Kathleen was working full-time for the D.C. Volunteer Lawyers Project, which counted CNN's Jake Tapper as its gala guest. Joe Biden attended at least three fundraisers for the group as vice president in 2013, 14, and 15, after the bathroom incident occurred. Hunter Biden and Kathleen divorced after Hunter's Ashley Madison account, which he tried to blame on the Russian imposters, was traced to Georgetown University during the period he was teaching.
You know, this is just like now, they're trying to blame Bob Alinsky.
Exactly.
With the Russian tag. Go ahead.
Victoria Rose, retired Marine and mother, said of left out something there somewhere.
I think now you move to that friend of the mother who had the son who was propositioned there in the bathroom. Just read parts of it.
Yes, Victoria Rose, retired Marine and mother, said of Broadstone, quote, I remember him saying that he mentored young boys when he met in the courthouse. I do remember asking, what was his point? Jefferson did not make a scene of it. He just explained at lunch, yeah, that creepy guy followed me into the bathroom.
So that was her friend's son, you see.
Yes.
Talking. Mm-hmm.
He was looking at me up and down and commenting on my hair and commenting on my clothes. He himself described that he had a lot of boys out to his place, Victoria said. She went on to say, Broadstone definitely said boys. It felt a little bit like he was trying to leverage the whole situation with the power that he, with his position, could stand in the way of trying to get help. It was creepy. It was a shocking thing to find out, especially about people who present themselves as trying to help people. They are finding people who are desperate for answers, and when all their resources have run out, which is the worst thing to do to people, Victoria said. She said that she spoke with son Jefferson about participating in this report, but that he did not want to be involved in the political article. Victoria noted that her son feared for his job if the story got out. The incident even sparked a series of emails from an editor at the Washington Examiner to D.C. Volunteer Lawyers Project Management, which led to Broadstone's quiet dismissal from his job. Now, let me move on here.
Perhaps you have given us enough there that we can see that this pattern is there. Do you see anything more that's important?
Just near the end of this lengthy article, there's a little section that says, Joe Biden was heavily involved with his daughter-in-law's group. in May.
Oh, I think that's the nugget we've been waiting for.
Yes.
Read that one more time.
Joe Biden was heavily involved with his daughter-in-law's group. Joe Biden, in May 2013, spoke at a fundraiser for the D.C. Volunteer Lawyers Project, which was notable due to the fact that Biden infamously rambled about rape, the movie Deliverance, and how rape victims, quote, don't want to get raped again by the system, unquote. Quote, you'll often hear men say, why don't they just leave? I ask them, how many of them have seen the movie Deliverance? And every man will raise his hand, and I'll say, what's one scene you remember in Deliverance? And every man here knows exactly the scene I'm thinking of. After those guys tied that one guy to the tree and raped him, men raped him in the film, why didn't that guy go to the sheriff? Biden said in his remarks. Why wouldn't you go to the sheriff? The reason why is they're ashamed and embarrassed. Why do you think who get raped, so many don't report it? They don't want to get raped again by the system. Unquote. In May 2014, Joe Biden appeared at another fundraiser for the D.C. Volunteers Lawyers Project. In 2015, Joe Biden spoke at his daughter-in-law Kathleen's D.C. Volunteer Lawyers Project at a fundraising reception that Hunter Biden also attended. Photos from the event show both Joe Biden and Hunter Biden in attendance.
And that's from the man who said that he liked to be out in the swimming pool area, and the hair on his legs would stand up, and he liked it when the little kids, they liked to see the hair stand up on his leg, and he enjoyed it when they got up on his lap. I think there's a lot going on here, and of course, this Week magazine, by saying this is a baddie global conspiracy. You and I recall it took us 6 weeks to be able to air a radio program one time with Officer Jack McClam talking about this very issue, the Franklin cover-up, all of it, Boys Town, the insidious, horrible things going on in Washington, D.C., the boys being flown in there, all of these things. Even the Army psychiatrist who was allegedly molesting Jack's own granddaughter. No, God will shine the light of truth, and we must pray very hard for America to have mercy from our Lord one more time. 4 more years is our prayer, and then repentance and renewal and a great awakening spiritually in this nation. Thank you. This was a rough program, but we had a lot to do today to prepare ourselves. If you only knew what Lou had to do yesterday and today, physically, no wonder couldn't organize things quite as well. And we really did have a satanic attack. This thing got lost because Satan didn't want this information to go out to all of you, but God is still stronger. Good night.